Chapter 4 Meter Square. After the murder of Elizabeth Stride, Jack the Ripper went to look for another victim. He walked west towards the City of London. It is only 12 minutes' walk from Berners Street to Meter Square, where the second murder happened. Although we do not know what time the killer arrived there, we know what his victim did, and can follow her movements on the night of September the 29th, 30th. At 8:30 on Saturday night, Constable Robinson found a woman lying on the pavement in Aldgate High Street. She was completely drunk. With the help of another constable, Robinson took her to Bishopsgate Street Police Station. She slept in a police cell for 3 hours. Then she started singing quietly, and at 12:30 she asked the policeman on duty when she could go. 25 minutes later, the policeman took her from her cell to the office. She asked him the time, and he said nearly 1 o'clock, which was about the time of Elizabeth Stride's murder. The woman said her name was Marianne Kelly, but her real name was Catherine Eddowes.
"This way, miss," said the policeman.
He went with her to the street door and asked her to shut it when she left. Catherine said, "Good night," and she went to meet her fate at the hands of Jack the Ripper. Meter Square is 8 minutes' walk from the police station. Perhaps Catherine arrived there at 1:10 a.m., perhaps later. We can imagine her singing to herself as she walked along, a small woman, about 1.52 meters, and thin. She looked about 40 and had dark brown hair under her black bonnet. Her clothes were old and dirty. She was wearing a red handkerchief around her neck, a black jacket, men's boots, and an old white apron. This apron had an important part to play in the murder. Around 1:33, three men came out of the Imperial Club in Duke Street. They passed a man and a woman at the corner of Church Passage that led into Meter Square. The couple were talking quietly, and the woman had her hand on the man's chest. The place was badly lit, but one man, Joseph Lawendi, gave a description of them. He said the woman was short and wore a black jacket and bonnet. The man was aged 30, 1.70 meters tall, medium build with a fair complexion and moustache. He wore a grey cap with a peak, a red handkerchief around his neck, and had the appearance of a sailor. Mr. Lawendi told the police later, "I don't think I can recognise him again." The three men passed on. The time was 1:35 a.m. 9 minutes later, Constable Edward Watkins of the City Police walked into Meter Square. Everything seemed quiet. It was the same dark, silent square of 14 minutes before, when he had walked around it. But this time he got a terrible shock. In the darkest corner of the square, he saw the body of a woman in the light of his lantern. He ran to a warehouse nearby and called out for the night watchman, a man named Morris. Mr. Morris ran for assistance and soon returned with two policemen. Then Inspector Collard arrived from Bishopsgate Police Station, and Dr. Brown came at 2:18 to examine the body. There were also three plainclothes detectives on the streets that night. They were part of the police hunt for the Whitechapel killer. At the time of the murder, they were only a few streets away from Meter Square. Hearing about the murder, they went to the square. Then they went off to look for the killer. One of them walked through Goulston Street just before 2:15, but saw nothing suspicious, and returned to Meter Square. At 2:20, Constable Alfred Long also walked along Goulston Street and saw nothing unusual. His beat took him there approximately every 30 minutes, so at 2:55 he was back in Goulston Street. This time he saw a piece of blood-stained apron in an open doorway. Near the piece of material, in white chalk on the wall, was a message. "The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing." When Constable Long reported this graffito, an Inspector McWilliam sent orders to photograph it. But the Chief of the Metropolitan Police, Sir Charles Warren, changed the order. He was afraid about anti-Jewish demonstrations, so he ordered his men to rub out the message. He destroyed an important clue. But he knew about the strong anti-Semitic feelings in the area. The piece of blood-stained apron fitted exactly into a missing section of the victim's apron. The killer evidently took it with him and cleaned his hands on it. At some time between 2:20 and 2:55, he was in Galston Street. He threw the piece of apron, wet with blood, in the doorway and wrote the message. But perhaps he did not write the message. Perhaps it was already there, and the murderer dropped the apron near it by chance. Or did he see the graffito and leave the apron there to put the blame on the Jews? We shall never know the answer. But we know that Jack the Ripper was an extraordinary killer. Cool, daring, and efficient. He came and went invisibly. Constable Watkins saw nothing in Meter Square at 1:30. He did not see or hear anything when he entered it and discovered the body at 1:44. And only minutes before, at 1:41 or 1:42, another officer looked into the square from Church Passage.
"I saw no one and heard no cry or noise," he said later.
Mr. Morris, the night watchman in the warehouse, went to the door and looked into the square 2 moments before Constable Watkins called him. Everything was quiet and deserted. So, in less than 15 minutes, the Ripper took Catherine into Meter Square, killed her, mutilated her horribly, and escaped, right under the noses of the police. His escape was amazing. Immediately after the discovery of the murder, the streets were full of policemen. The police were already everywhere in the area after Liz Stride's murder, but the discovery of the apron shows that the killer was out in the streets at some time between 2:20 and 2:55, 36 to 71 minutes after Watkins discovered the body. Galston Street is only 5 minutes from Meter Square. So what was the murderer doing? To the police, Jack the Ripper was a mystery. He is still a mystery today. Catherine Eddowes was the Ripper's 4th victim. She was 42 and lived in a lodging house. People said she was jolly, always singing. Her partner was John Kelly. When they parted at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 29th, Kelly told her to be careful about the Whitechapel killer. "Don't you worry about me," replied Catherine. "I'll take care of myself, and I won't fall into his hands."